Number one, Miss Kaylee told me she wanted me to preach 2 hours today, so you'll have to just blame her with it. I'm not going to preach 2 hours, so don't pass out on me. All right, John chapter number one, beginning in verse number 35, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Notice the punctuation there, exclamation mark. Well, I don't think you ought to get excited about anything. Well, John is saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," with excitement. Right. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. What a statement. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him." That's what all these testimonies were about this morning. "We have found him. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" In other words, how'd you know that? How'd you know those details about my life? You don't know me. When did you know me? When did you come to know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Praise God. God's not in the dark concerning you. If you're lost here today, he knows all about you, and he's wanting to do a work in your life. We could read on. We'll stop there for sake of time. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house today. And Lord, we want to be mindful, Lord, of what you want. Lord, this is your day. Lord, this is the day that you've made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. This is referred to as the Lord's Day, and certainly we want to give you all of the time that you deserve today. Lord, I pray that you will help me to say what you want said this morning, to convey the message of our heart and your heart. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for our faithful members. Thank you for those that are with us today. We pray, Lord, that our eyes will be open, our ears will be attentive, and our will be ready to commit to doing that which you are going to challenge us with from your word. Lead, guide, and direct us, save sinners, and stir the saints of God. Get all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I'm interested in light of the Lord dealing with my heart. I'm in light of September being a September for souls, a time of local emphasis of sinners and of souls being saved, trying to get folk actively involved in being what God has ordained in the Bible for you to be, and that is to be a witness, to be someone that concerns yourself with others and whether or not they're saved by the grace of God. How many days come and go in your life and that thought never crosses your mind? I wonder if she's saved. I wonder if he knows the Lord. Right. Amen. Right. I wonder how many hours passes in your life and that never never comes in your conscious thoughts. Can we be right with God living in a world of over 7 billion people, the majority of them are still lost without God, and never think about, does that person know the Lord? What can I do? Can I give them a gospel tract? Amen. Or something to that effect. The man I want to deal with, and he's quickly, the more I study on him, he's quickly becoming one of my favorite Bible characters. There's not much said about him. In fact, I read a lot about that's recorded of him in the Bible already this morning. Only four places in total that talks about this man. Really not a whole lot said if you just kind of read over it and glance through it. But I'm interested in Andrew this morning. I'm interested in a man that was named Andrew that I read about this morning. And you'll find out more about him as we go further into the message. Andrew, from everything we can discover about him, Andrew was just a common, ordinary man. Now, I guess that's why he stands out to me, because that's what I am, just a common, ordinary man. But Andrew shows us that God has a plan for the ordinary. That God has a plan for the common. For God has a plan for those who feel as though I can't do anything because I do not possess special abilities. We don't find anywhere where Andrew ever preached a sermon, far as recorded in the scripture. You never find him standing up in a crowd and preaching a message. Though he was a preacher, and history tells us that he preached quite a bit in several different areas that he lived around. But we don't have any of that recorded in the scripture. We don't find where Andrew ever performed a miracle. We don't find where Andrew ever wrote a book. Nobody's ever said, "All right, I want you to turn to Andrew chapter number 1. I want to preach that." No. Andrew never wrote a book. Never preached a message far as recorded in the scriptures. Never performed a miracle. But yet God had a major plan, not only for Andrew, but through Andrew. Oh, listen, may we get a hold of that today. That God is not just wanting to work on me. He's wanting to work in me. And the message and our emphasis upcoming is God is wanting to work through me.
Right.
Amen. And I want to just jump ahead and say this. I believe anybody that's saved, truly born again, wants to do something for the Lord. How many saved people never get interested in the will of God for your life? They never pray, "Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, you saved me for a purpose." And this Bible tells us that. What is that purpose? What is your plan for my life? What is your purpose for my life? Oh, I want to tell you, you want to find true joy? You want to find true happiness? Get in the middle of the will of God for your life. You say, "I'm afraid to be surrendered to the will of God because I don't know where that will take me. I don't know what that will entail for my life." It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter where. If you're in the will of God, there is joy and there is peace beyond your comprehension tonight. Amen. Oh, Andrew was just a common, ordinary man, but that God used him mightily. You know what we have a problem with today? And I'm not going to try to preach all this morning, okay? We may come back. If Lord don't change my mind, we'll come back tonight and hook right back up with it. But I want to try to convey to you enough to where you can at least have something to go home with, more than what we've already got. But what we're so bad about doing is comparing ourselves among ourselves.
Right.
Well, oh, if I could sing, then I'd do something.
Right.
Oh, if I could preach, I could do something.
Right.
Or if I could teach a Sunday school class, I could do something. Or if I could talk, hello. If I could talk, I'd do something for the Lord. Yeah, it's amazing. You can talk about the pro teams, and you can talk about your hobbies, and you can talk about some special you found at Walmart or whatever. But when it comes to the Lord, all of a sudden, I can't talk. I couldn't say mud with a mouthful of it. Amen. No, really, you talk about what your heart is set on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if it's not coming out of the mouth, it makes me look lower into the heart and wonder what's really in there. Amen.
Right.
If Christ gets big to you and gets big in you, you will talk about Him. No doubt about
right.
that. Amen. But anyway, here's what we do. Here is what we do. We compare ourselves among ourselves, and Corinthians had that problem. The Corinthian believers had that problem. And it wasn't good. Paul told the Corinthian believers, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. How many people sitting right here today are not doing the will of God because you have compared yourself to somebody else that has maybe got more abilities,
right.
You know, or whatever, and you feel so inferior. Come on now.
Right.
I know our church is blessed beyond measure with folk that can sing. Amen. I get requests all the time, but I sing anyway. Amen. I mean, listen, we've got a lot that can sing. Our youth choir and youth groups and different ones of the adults can sing. But I've noticed some have almost quit singing. Y'all don't want me to name names. Almost quit singing because maybe you think, well, if I could sing like him or her or them or those, that's not the will of God.
Right.
We're not in, this is not American Idol up here, amen? Nobody gets on this platform is performing. We're not trying to win votes so we could go to another level. Amen. If you ever get to that point, hope you forget the song you're singing. I hope you said, amen, the Lord knows how to embarrass you. Can I get a witness right there? That's terrible, isn't it? I've had that happen to me in the pulpit preaching. The Lord knows how to embarrass you. So don't. No, those are hard. Those cause nightmares. If you ever had that experience. But here's what happens, Brother Mark. We compare ourselves among ourselves, and there's two dangers that always is associated with that. One is, I call it self-appreciation. And the other is self-depreciation. If I compare myself with somebody that really can't do maybe what I can do, then it's going to cause self-appreciation, pride, and God hates pride. Or if I compare myself with somebody that is really good or whatever, then it will cause self-depreciation, and that's not humility. Amen. That brings about inferiority. Superiority is bad. Inferiority is bad. Self-appreciation is bad. Self-depreciation is bad. Amen. And that's what happens when we compare ourselves. And if anybody had the right to compare themselves and be intimidated, it would have been Andrew. I'm going to jump ahead right here because some of you may not be back tonight anyway, but let me just mention this. Did you know that Andrew was always referred to as Peter's brother? Why didn't they talk about Peter being Andrew's brother? Andrew had to live in the shadow of his brother his whole life. And Andrew was the one that won his brother to the Lord. But yet when you find all the disciples named in the Bible, when you find the apostles named in the Bible, guess who's mentioned first? Andrew? No. Should he? Yes. He was the first one, the first disciple, the first apostle. Andrew was. Did you know that? Some of you probably knew that. How many knew that? Well, praise God, three of you. We're having a good class this morning. But that's why we're coming to church, is to learn. Isn't that right? Andrew, the man I'm preaching about, we know very little about because he don't get preached about. Who wants to preach about little Andrew? Who wants to preach about a man that never wrote a book? Who wants to preach about somebody that never performed a miracle? We can't turn to a certain page and find him doing something astronomical. Mind-blowing. Very few people knows about Andrew, but listen, I want to say it again. He was the first disciple. He was the first apostle. But yet he possessed no abilities. Just a common, ordinary man. Isn't that good? That gives me hope that God wants to use ordinary people. God wants to use common people. You follow the Lord in his earthly ministry, and guess what? You guess who you find Jesus associating himself with? Just common, ordinary people. Isn't that good? That gives us hope. Amen. That gives us hope, doesn't it? Listen to this right here, chapter number 1 of 1 Corinthians. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I call this God's toolbox. If I want to look and see who it is that God uses, I find I have hope there. Listen to it. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. He's talking to saved people. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. Did you notice that? Brother Jeter, he mentions three in that verse. Not many wise men, not many mighty men, and not many noble men are called. It didn't say not any, it just said not many. Amen? Well, I don't fit into any one of those three classes. I don't fit into any of those three classes, the wise, the mighty, or the noble. But verse 27 says, I see a ray of sunshine shining into my life now. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? Here's the answer. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Why would God want to use an Andrew so he can get the glory? Why would God choose to use an Andrew in the Bible when men would look at Andrew and say, no, not qualified. He's not gifted. He's not what we are looking for. Oh, but I'm telling you, he was what God was looking for. Evidently so. Jesus was the one that stopped by where he was at and said, hey, Andrew, follow me. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad Jesus is interested in you when the world is not. And by the way, before any of you get too puffed up, most of us in here, if not all of us in here, we don't have the looks, we don't have the connections, we don't have the lineage, we don't have the money, we're on the wrong side of the track for the world to look at us and say, oh yes, right. Oh, I'd like to have access to their abilities. Isn't that something, Brother Fultz? The world will look at me and not be even interested because I don't look the part. I don't have the money for the part. I'm not connected. I don't know the who's who, amen, to be in their lineup, Brother Tim. But Jesus is interested in me. Amen. Some of you ought to quit trying to please the world because you're not going to do it. You're not going to please the world. Amen. I mean, I don't mean to pop your bubble, and I don't want you to go out of here, you know, just completely on the ground, but I want you to know you're going after a futile thing to try to please the world. Amen. Try to change this and try to change that, and you try to look this part and dress this way, and you try to do this and do that, all for the purpose of trying to please the world and fit in with this ungodly world. Why don't you realize today you cannot please them? They are not interested in you as a person. They're only interested in you funding their cause. As long as you're buying their name brand, as long as you're buying their CDs and DVDs and keeping them funded through movies and all of that, that's all they want out of you is your support. But Jesus Christ is interested in you as a person because He has a plan for your life. Let me give you this right here. How many's ever heard of C.H. Spurgeon? Well, what about that? You didn't know who Andrew was a while ago. Now you know who Spurgeon was. Yeah, we need to preach on that a little more. But everybody in our circles, if I could use that term, has heard of C.H. Spurgeon. Probably, he's known as the Prince of Preachers. Probably one of the greatest Bible expositors that has ever come into our day, not just in life, but also in literature. He's brilliant. He provokes thought in me. I love to read after him. He'll give you things that you never... Where did that come from? I mean, he just was brilliant. How many has ever heard... I'm talking about God using Andrew now. God using common, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. How many know how that C.H. Spurgeon got saved? Anybody know how C.H. Spurgeon got saved? I'm just going to give you just bits and pieces of it. But as C.H. Spurgeon was en route for an appointment, as C.H. Spurgeon was en route for a scheduled appointment at the age of 15 years old back in 1850. That was just a little bit before my time. Say amen right there. Some of y'all wouldn't laugh if I ain't pushed a bale of hay down the aisle. Amen. But at the age of 15, on his way to a scheduled appointment, a snowstorm hit and forced him to cut short his intended journey and to turn into a little primitive Methodist chapel where they were holding services that night. They tell me also that that storm was so bad that the preacher that normally preaches there couldn't even get to the church, so just a lay member took charge of the service that night. Very few people were there. Few people showed up. The snowstorm had most people at home. But C.H. Spurgeon just went in there to just get out of the snow and just go in there for church. And this layman, read Isaiah 45:22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Who would have thought that that night, the most unlikely place, the most unlikely circumstances, the preacher didn't even show up, a lay member probably wasn't even prepared, got up and read and commented a little bit on Isaiah 45:22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." And guess who got saved that night? One of the greatest preachers that we ever known anything about since John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul. How would you like to be that lay member reaping the benefits off of C.H. Spurgeon's life? How would you like to do that? While we're on that, can I give you another one? This right here, how many has ever heard of Edward Kimball? Anybody ever heard of Edward Kimball? I hadn't ever heard of him until I read this. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. Not a preacher, a Sunday school teacher. I'm still talking about Andrew now. We're trying to build this platform to where God wants to call us to be Andrews in our life. Not just in September, but in our life. Listen, let me just give you this if I could. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. Being faithful, he was being faithful in his class, being faithful to study, being faithful to pray, try to be spiritual and teach his class. And I commend my Sunday school, not mine, but our Sunday school class teachers here at the church for the time you give to study and prayer and preparation spiritually so God can use you. That's what I'm talking about. God wants to use you, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a layman. A layman was used to win C.H. Spurgeon to the Lord. A Sunday school teacher, we're fixing to find out what God used him to do. Edward Kimball, being faithful in his Sunday school class, he won a young fellow to the Lord. What a statement. He won a young fellow to the Lord. Preacher, what's so astronomical about that? Well, that young fellow that he won to the Lord in a Boston shoe store was a Boston shoe salesman. And guess who his name was? Now, wait a minute. We're talking about just a Sunday school teacher. We're talking about an unknown Sunday school teacher. What a person of the Lord. Guess who he was? D.L. Moody. Would anybody like to reap the benefits off of D.L. Moody's life? No telling how many hundreds of thousands of people were saved through D.L. Moody's life. Now that's Andrew. Andrew don't look like he ever done much. But oh mercy, look what God did through the people that he did reach. And we'll point that out later on at another time. But D.L. Moody went on to preach great revivals in America and England. He founded Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, which still is in operation today, training people to go out and serve the Lord. So you could say the fruit is still ongoing and building off of D.L. Moody's life, which goes back to a Sunday school teacher that won him to Jesus. Sunday school teachers, don't underestimate who it is that's sitting in your class. You never know who it might be that's sitting there. If they get saved and surrender their life to the Lord, where they'll be in 10 years and what they will accomplish. D.L. Moody went on to preach in these, not only in our country, but other countries, trained thousands of missionaries and evangelists. And D.L. Moody started in England preaching the gospel, and he won a man to Christ. Now keep in mind, a Sunday school teacher wins a young boy to Christ. His name's D.L. Moody, great preacher of the past. Great. And D.L. Moody goes, and he's preaching now in England, and he wins a young boy to the Lord. And guess who that one was? No, we ain't got to Billy Sunday yet. That's coming. F.B. Meyer. Read any of his books? F.B. Meyer, one of the greatest authors on prayer and other subjects. F.B. Meyer, Frederick B. Meyer, heard the message and that Moody had preached, and it so stirred him that he got saved by the grace of God. F.B. Meyer now takes the ball and is running with it, and he began to travel, and he began to preach, and he began to spread across this country and other countries preaching the Word of God. And F.B. Meyer was invited to come to Furman University down in Greenville, South Carolina. I've drove by it many times. In its time, was probably one of the leading Bible colleges or Bible universities. I can't say that much about it now or for the past several years, as they've took a liberal direction, as most colleges have. That's a shame and a disgrace. But as F.B. Meyer was invited to come, now keep in mind, I'm talking about what started with a Sunday school teacher. Went into, got Billy, D.L. Moody got saved, and then D.L. Moody won Frederick B. Meyer, so the Lord, F.B. Meyer, and F.B. Meyer got invited to Furman University to preach. And he preached with such fervor and power there at the university that there was a young evangelist, that was sitting there that got stirred and impacted by F.B. Meyer's message, and that he went on to sell out to serve God all the days of his life. And guess who he was? R.G. Lee. Everybody, a lot of people's heard of R.G. Lee, D.L. Moody, F.B. Meyer. But who's heard of Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher? Who's heard of Andrew? Huh? Oh, Lord, help us. R.G. Lee, of course, he gets on the firing line. He begins to travel. He begins to preach. F.B. Meyer continues on preaching at different locations. And another young man hearing F.B. Meyer preach got on fire for the Lord and won many to the Lord. And guess what his name was? J. Wilbur Chapman. Some of the greats of yesteryears started out with a Sunday school teacher. What about that? Spurgeon started out, listen, with just a layman standing in place of his pastor on a snowy, wintry night. And God, look what God's done. Amen. Boy, that gives me hope. J. Wilbur Chapman began to preach. And J. Wilbur Chapman began to preach and preach and preach. And then he won somebody the Lord. And guess who that was, Miss Debbie? Billy Sunday. Anybody ever heard of Billy Sunday? Famous ball player that got saved and went serving the Lord, preaching the gospel. They estimated well over 1 million souls got saved through Billy Sunday's preaching. Would you like to reap the benefits off of that? Would you like to stand at the judgment seat of Christ having been an Andrew that won Billy Sunday the Lord? Would you like to be a Sunday school teacher that won D.L. Moody to the Lord, that won Frederick B. Meyer to the Lord, that won R.G. Lee to the Lord, J. Wilbur Chapman to the Lord, Billy Sunday to the Lord? And as Billy Sunday began to preach and travel and go not only in this country but other countries preaching the Word of God, Billy Sunday won somebody to the Lord in Charlotte in one of his crusades who was a Jewish preacher, Mordecai Ham. Anybody ever heard of him? Probably hadn't too many heard of him. I had the privilege of hearing him in person. I am that old. I actually got to hear him in person one time years ago. I wasn't even saved, but I got to hear him. Mordecai Ham got saved by the grace of God. And then Mordecai Ham, guess who he won to the Lord? And I'm not condoning all these. I'm just giving the facts. Guess who Mordecai Ham won to the Lord at 16 years old? Billy Graham. Are you listening? I'm just simply pointing out all of these started out with an Andrew, an insignificant, unnamed, know very little about individual, but yet God used them being faithful, doing what God called them to do, whether it's standing in the place of the pastor that couldn't make it for the snow and C.H. Spurgeon getting saved, or if it's somebody that's just teaching a Sunday school class and living for the Lord and wins somebody to Christ, and then the domino effect takes place and there's people being saved still yet today as a result of that. All that's going to go back. All that, Brother Brad, all that's going to go back. You're a missionary out of this church going to Haiti. Guess what? As we support you and other churches support you, we're going to be joint, listen, we're going to be joint sharers in the reward. Some go and sow, some must stay and pay. Amen. That's right. We need to make sure that we keep a strong, listen church, we need to make sure we keep a strong home front right here at RBT. There is 75 missionaries that depend on us to keep them on the field. Are you listening? And I want to commend you for being faithful. They're in foreign souls, many of them. Some of them are here in the States. And they're being faithful to preach the Word of God and souls are being saved. Guess what? At the judgment seat of Christ, we will share in the reward. You say you have proof text for that? I'm spending more time right here than I intended on, but that's okay. Listen to this verse of Scripture. Philippians chapter number 4. You don't have to turn there, but I just want to make reference. Paul is a missionary, and the church of Philippi were supporting him. And here's what he said in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul said, when I left Macedonia, nobody was supporting me as a missionary except the church of Philippi, except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. That's the way God's plan for it to be. God's plan for His church to send missionaries around the world fulfilling the Great Commission. We're trying to do that. We're not a missionary Baptist church in name only. Hello. We've got missionary on our sign. We are an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. But we support missionaries, real missionaries, living, breathing missionaries that have stood in this pulpit and shared their burden. I'm glad to be a part of a church like that. Amen. I don't want to just put my money in a plate and it goes to God only knows where and they only do whatever with it. Amen. I was saved in a convention church. Called to preach in a convention church. And my pastor got to discovering where the money was going from the cooperative program. And I'm talking about wicked stuff. And we said, we can't tithe to that. And I won't go to a church I can't tithe to. Isn't that good preaching right there, Preacher Radcliffe? Amen. I won't go to a church I can't tithe to. Amen. And I'm not, well, I put it in a plate and then my responsibility's over. I'm not responsible for where it goes. If I know before I put it in the plate that it's going to ungodliness and worldliness and wickedness and supporting that in the name of religion, then I am also accountable and responsible for that. My pastor started exposing that from their own literature, their own facts, their own documents, started exposing that. Of course, World War II broke out then. Are you listening? I got saved right in the middle of all that. I don't know how I did, but I did. Amen. Thank God I'm glad when we take on a missionary here for $45 a month, they get every penny of it. We found out years ago, and this has been many years ago, that that any of the missionaries in the convention only got one dime out of every dollar they raised. Where did the 90 cents out of each dollar go? Went to people sitting in padded chairs in air-conditioned offices. That is wicked, friend. That ought not to be. That missionary drags his family all over the country, wears their cars out, wears their family out, wears their kids out, amen, trying to raise support to send it to somebody in a leather chair. That wasn't the wickedness I was talking about they supported there a while ago, but that falls in there pretty close. Well, how it got on that? We're sharing in the reward. Let me read and get to meddling here. Listen. Verse 17, he's talking about Thessalonica. You sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. See, that's what it's about. Why do you serve God? Andrew, why are you being faithful to serve God? You want to have fruit. Look at this. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I just read verse 15 through 18. Is that not talking about local church taking care of a missionary? Isn't it? Y'all were listening, wasn't you? But then we come to the next verse, and we quote this verse all the time. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. If you take that verse in context, is given in a mission emphasis. Here's what Paul was basically saying, Brother Gillum. Church at Philippi, you took care of my needs. As a missionary, you ministered to my needs. Now my God is going to supply your need. My God's going to supply your need. But he said in verse number 17, the verse I wanted to emphasize just briefly, not because I desire a gift. He said, Paul is saying, as a missionary church, I'm not wanting you to support me just so I can have the funds. He said, I'm desiring fruit that it may abound, catch this right here, that it may abound to your account. Paul said, I'm doing what I'm doing so you can have something in your account. That's why, Brother Fultz, we need to be interested in being an Andrew. Brother Silas, we need to be interested in being an Andrew. Why? Because we're going to win some people to the Lord And we're going to be laborers together. And sharers together in the fruit that comes from it. Well, amen. I'm not going to labor the point any further, but just simply to point out, and I hope something has been stated to whet your appetite to want to be an Andrew. You may not be the noble, the mighty, the rich, the famous, the popular, but you can be an Andrew. You can be a common, ordinary person that loves the Lord and is faithful to do the will of God, and God can use your life, as we're going to find out further in this message on Andrew. We'll find out that God used Andrew. Has God used your life any? Is that a concern? Is that a concern to you that God has or has not used you? If God ever uses you and you're aware of it, there's a blessing that comes with that. And you'll want it again, and you'll want it again. God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me for your glory. Oh, a lot of people wouldn't mind being used if they could be Peter, who could stand on Pentecost, preach one message, 3,000 get saved, be on the Mount of Transfiguration, walk on water. Wow. But how many's wanting to be an Andrew? I'm going to give you this, just in case. It'll be worth repeating later. But without Andrew, we would have never known anything about Peter. Because Andrew, the unnamed, insignificant, little, first apostle disciple, Andrew, won Peter to the Lord. We talk about all that Peter did. If there wasn't an Andrew, probably wouldn't have been a Peter. Are you willing to be an Andrew this morning? Are you interested in serving the Lord? Are you interested in the will of God? Last year, I don't remember, Brother Silas was going to let me know tonight what our goal was on our tracks last year. I was thinking it was 1,500, and then we went way over. Was it up close to 2,000? Over 2,000 tracks that was handed out in the month of September. And that all sounds great, doesn't it? That all sounds wonderful until you realize there wasn't but about 20 people doing that. It's not time to pray yet, I don't think. I seen heads go. Huh? Didn't you say that? Only about 20 to 25 of our whole church body was handing out tracts last year during the month of September. Where was the rest? We need everybody being an Andrew. We need everybody, well, preacher, I can't do this. Get off of that. Most people that's got that I can't do business is looking for a cop out. They're looking for an excuse to sit on the pew of do nothing. Get off of that. Because let me give you a verse. I don't want to hear your feelings. I can't do that, preacher. I can't talk. I can't. Let me give you a verse. Trade your emotions with a verse. Train your emotion with a verse. Philippians chapter 4 says, y'all ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Right. I can. Say that with me. I can. See, some of you couldn't even hardly say I can without putting a T on it. You're so used to saying I can't. I can't that you can't even hardly say I can. I can't closes the door and gets you off the hook, you think, and leaves you sitting on a pew waiting on somebody else. I wish somebody else would do something. Right. Rogersville and Hawkins County's full of lost people, and I wish somebody would do something. Right. But I can do all things which strengtheneth through Christ, which strengtheneth me, right. Brother, opens the door. Right. If it's God's will for you to be an Andrew, then he has got somebody that you can win to the Lord, somebody you can influence. Amen. Susanna Wesley, what do we know about her? Do we know that she done anything much other than raise a mission field full of kids in her house? I think she had, 16, 17, 18 kids. It was an astronomical number. I mean, she is a woman, wasn't she? Come on, ladies, say amen right there. That was before epidurals too, probably. But you know what? She spent 1 hour a day praying for her children. Just praying for her children. She'd gather her children around and spend 1 hour a day talking to her children about spiritual things. Oh, yeah, preacher, well, you lost me right there. I couldn't pray an hour for everybody's children. I don't pray an hour about nothing. Yeah, but then don't ever expect to produce a John and Charles Wesley. Are you listening? She was being faithful as being an Andrew, as a wife, a mother, in the home, training, teaching, praying, living right, being an example to her children. And out from her home, we don't know about the rest of them, but we know John and Charles Wesley came out of her home. How would you like to reap the benefits off of their ministries? Huh? She was just being faithful as a mother. Doing what God wants you to do, being faithful at it, and God will see to it that there will be rewards. Let's all stand to our feet.